Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so we had the sort of, La Russa news from Bob Nightingale saying that La Russa is definitely going to be back. We still want to take your remaining White Sox questions, concerns, outrage of them being eliminated. And if you missed it yesterday, Wilbon had an interesting take on Sox fans. And we had maybe the craziest caller of the month. The name George owns the crazy calls for the last couple of months. Wasn't it a dude named George who called in and said that drafting Justin Fields was the greatest day of his life?
I think it was, yeah. And if he could go back in time, he would name his son Justin Fields.
Right, and he has a one-year-old. And it's a better day than when he got married and when he had his kid. Yeah. And then there was a different George who called yesterday who really went after the White Sox. And he was a Sox fan that we got to replay, too. So if you still have your White Sox thoughts, we're talking Bears right now, 332-3776. I wrote this question, and I was listening to Cap and Jay Hood today discuss, like, I think they did a poll, who do you hate more, sports hate, in the context of sports hate.
So I got to choose one or the other.
It was, and they did, like, Packers or Rodgers, you know, like a general... That, and I was thinking while they were talking about it, like, I hate my team more.
Well, right. But you have to answer the poll question. If you are going to participate, and my vote would be for the Packers in general versus just Aaron Rodgers. But I'm coming from the same angle that you're coming from. Like, my disgust or my angst or my disappointment is directed at my franchise's ineptitude over the last couple of decades. It's not pointed at them.
Right, right. And so I spun that, and I was thinking about it. I'm like, look, if I could come up with a top five power ranking of the last 20 years of the biggest sports enemies in Chicago. And again, I use it in context of sports. I know they're not real enemies. And I think the top two are LeBron and Aaron Rodgers. I was trying to think about, you know, specific rivals. Like, maybe Cubs fans would say Yachty. I don't know who Sox fans would say. If there's a specific, like, Josh Donaldson was a this year, but
it's a bit of an irritant.
I don't know if there's really been one. So I did a poll question brought to you by.
It would probably be a member of the Twins, right? Wouldn't there be a Twins player that's probably sticking in the minds of a White Sox fan?
Like Justin Morneau. I don't know. I don't know if it really, if there really is one. I don't know.
Well, do you remember the angst that Chuck had at the start of the baseball season, Chuck Garfine, about
the Twins. I think Jonathan had some of the same feelings. They're a team that don't they have a losing streak of playoff games, or is it playoff series? They haven't either won a playoff game in years or a playoff series. I think it's maybe a game much as they've advanced. But anyway, so I frame this. Who has been the bigger sports enemy for Chicago in the last 15 years? Brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. And Aaron Rodgers is running away with this at 86.2%. LeBron is only getting 13.8%. And as usual, I'm going Oppo, and here's why. It's exactly what we talked about. LeBron James was a guy, for me as a diehard Bulls fan, who has stood in front of my team from achieving greatness. The Bulls of the Derrick Rose 2010-11, and then the following year, I think they were eliminated by them in the playoffs, were really in the way. LeBron was in the way, and the Bulls teams under Tibbs were very good if it wasn't for LeBron. LeBron then beat them in Cleveland. Remember, the Bulls were up 2-1 in that series with Jimmy Butler, Pau Gasol, that team. And the Bulls were competitive. Aaron Rodgers, yes, and someone said, Rodgers literally owns the Bears with his record against the Bears. But again, I think this has more to do with the Bears' badness than Aaron Rodgers standing in the way. The Bears have not been competitive in this rivalry. I mentioned during Wilbon yesterday, I'm tired of saying, do we have a chance in this game? What I want is a true rivalry where year in and year out, you don't know if the Bears or the Packers are going to win the
division.
You're
on a level playing field.
It's like the Ravens and the Steelers, right? Every year, they would go back and forth in the AFC North. One team would be really good. The other team would be really good. And they would battle to see who would win that division.
Like, listen, on Sunday, we think this is going to be a close game, mostly because the Packers have some injuries. Like, we want to feel that if both teams are 100% healthy, that we've got just as good a shot of beating them as they do beating us. And that's not been the case for the last decade.
No, so that's the reason I picked LeBron. I think, like, I don't hate, it's weird. I don't hate Rodgers. I respect him. There were many times in my basketball, you know me, I'm a meathead when it comes to LeBron at times because of the Michael LeBron thing, because LeBron stood in the way of some modern. And yeah, Rodgers beat the Bears in that 2010 game, but it was more Cutler got hurt. There were some other things that went on in that Todd Collins was playing for the Bears.
Bears' inability to be a true rival of the Packers had more to do with our ineptitude than it did anything.
Right. That and so 312-332-3776. I want to play you Aaron Rodgers talking about Chicago, and then the kid called in. The kid's on the line, okay? I think his
mom
called.
I don't think he's a kid any longer, is he? Or is he a little grown up?
We'll find out. So I want to play you this story. So Aaron Rodgers yesterday was talking about Chicago, and this is what he said.
I mean, I don't think they're extremely happy with me. They're not very cordial most of the time, but I respect that. I mean, I respect it's a great sports town. They got two baseball teams, a basketball team that I grew up cheering for. I don't know how it was for you guys, but when I was growing up, one of the few channels we had on TV was WGN. And so you got to watch, like, Cubs baseball, you know, and some Bulls basketball games for whatever reason. So you naturally became a fan, I think, because I was a big sports fan, and that was the only thing that was on TV. For years, you know, when we played down there, I would, the night before, go on a long walk, and often walk to dinner. Mastro's is where I went to dinner for years and years and years in a row. And on one of those walks, you know, a random mom and son, even though I'm all bundled up, you know, wearing a sweatshirt, it was freezing, and a, you know, winter hat and stuff, they recognized me, and we walked for, I don't know, 4 or 5 blocks together. So that was a nice chance meeting. But I've always, you know, enjoyed the city, enjoyed the fans, even though they haven't really enjoyed me. That's fine. I get it. Maybe there'll be a little more love when my time comes to an end playing here. But I do have a lot of respect for the city and the sports fans they got there.
Could you see yourself ever playing there when your time comes?
No.
Playing here?
Nope.
Hard no.
It's just not going to happen, man.
We had a dream during the offseason before they drafted Fields. So about that kid and the mom, I think at the time the mom called into the show. Now Peter in Mount Prospect, and I checked his Twitter. He has the picture.
It says kid that met Aaron Rodgers?
There's a picture of him and Rodgers on a street corner in Chicago. And this is Peter in Mount Prospect who just called in. And you are that person, right, Peter?
Yeah, what's up?
How old are you now, Peter?
15 years old. I'm 15. A sophomore in high school.
Who was Aaron Rodgers with when he went? Was he by himself or was he with Randall Cobb?
He was by himself.
Really?
Of course he was. He does it. He like he loves to divorce everybody.
When he goes home, when he goes back to California, he goes places by himself.
What was that like? Take us through the story, Peter. How long ago was this and what happened?
This was 4 years ago. It was November 2017. And, you know, in Chicago, the great Christmas lights and everything. Me and my mom just went down to see him, super random. And we're on like one of the corners about to cross, and I turn around and I see this guy walking towards me. And I'm like, okay, I think that's Aaron Rodgers. And my mom's like, yeah, there's no way. And then he keeps walking towards us. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's Aaron Rodgers. So then my mom's like, he walks past us. We're just like standing there. We don't even cross the street. And my mom's like, are you? She just like doesn't really continue saying anything. And he just turns around and goes, yeah, I am. So then like at the corner, I took a picture with him and a few guys noticed him. So we let him be. We just kept walking. But then I think maybe a block down, we stopped and called my dad, and then he caught up with us. And then we just walked into the steakhouse and talked for like 25 minutes.
Wow. So really cool guy, huh?
Yeah, he was a great guy. He treated us normally. We treated him normally. I think that's why it was a pretty special experience. It was just catching up like a normal friend.
Then went out on the field and whipped our ass the next day, right? Isn't that what he did?
I think that year he was actually hurt. So I think maybe Deshaun Kizer or Brett Hundley was the QB for the Packers. But yeah, I remember we lost that game, but we should have won because he was out.
I think it was Brett Hundley, wasn't it? Yeah. Wasn't it Brett Hundley
that year?
Yeah,
it was Brett Hundley.
Peter, wow. Why aren't you in school right now?
I just got out early today.
Wow, that's good.
It's 2:30. You know, school.
Did you cut early, or are your classes done for the day?
My classes ended early today.
That's perfect. But you still root for the Bears, right? You didn't become a Packer fan.
Oh no, huge Bear fan forever.
Who's going to win this weekend?
I feel like I say this every year, but honestly, with all this going on, I feel Bears W.
All right,
really?
That's good.
Okay.
Peter, great stuff.
Thanks,
Thank
Peter.
You for calling.
Appreciate it.
For having me on.
There you go. Peter and Mount Prospect.
Again, I think it's a really good question. Are you feeling the buzz right now?
Yeah, are you feeling the buzz? And then what about the bigger sports, Chicago sports enemy? 312-332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
As we told you a little bit earlier, Damian Williams of the Bears has been placed on the COVID list. Not the only name in the NFL. The Arizona Cardinals received 3 positive COVID-19 tests this week, according to a source. It feels like their pass rusher Chandler Jones was put on the reserve list this past Tuesday because of a positive test.
Yeah.
So I believe it's two personnel and one player. Positive tests include one player and 2 members of the staff, according to the source.
Do they lose? I think they got Cleveland this week. Do they lose for the first time this weekend? I think it's in Cleveland.
Probably. This is a matchup, remember, of the of Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. I was saying to you at the break, it feels like, and it's a good thing, that COVID has been out of the spotlight in the NFL, hasn't it? I mean, there's been something here and something there, but I don't recall over the first 4 or 5 weeks.
There's been no outbreaks. Yeah. It's sort of like you haven't paid attention.
Right. But interesting. We have football tonight. The Bucs are at the Eagles. Tampa Bay is a 7-point favorite on the road. The total is 52.5. And what are you doing on DraftKings?
I'm not playing this game.
You're not playing the game?
In the Sun Times, and so that you should fade me. I did go 8-7-1 last week, which is a good week for me.
Yeah, why would I fade that?
I would go Eagles. It's in Philly. It's we saw Brady have one of his worst games of the year on a short rest in Chicago, right? That's when he forgot what down it was.
That's the only Thursday night game he's lost. I think he's 6-1 in Thursday night
games.
But
I thought against the spread, I thought Carmen had something where he's like, against the spread,
he has not been good.
0-10.
You were the one who had that.
Yeah.
So he's 0-10 on Thursday night football.
In his last 10 night games, he's 0-10 against the spread.
0-10 against the spread.
It's not the diabetes, is it? No.
like the Cutler calls. Waddle, Sylvie, I don't know if this has ever been brought up, but I think when Jay plays at night, the diabetes could be affecting his vision. I know I grew up with diabetes, and I couldn't really see or drive at night. Do you think Jay can't see the defender?
This smells like a great opportunity for a teaser, doesn't it? Like, if I can get that number down to 1 so the Bucks just have to, you know,
win. You're a big teaser guy, aren't you?
Not if I can find some, like, it doesn't make up the bulk of my sports gambling, but like this one feels right. Like, I think the Eagles will score some points. I think the Eagles total is what, 21.5 or 22.5 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll score some points, and I think the Bucks will score some points. If I can tease that down to the Bucks -1 and 46.5 and go over.
I'm just worried about his thumb. I don't want Brady to get hurt because I want to see him in person next week.
Well, he's going to have an extra several days to rest.
Well, I'm really nervous. Like, we made the trip. Danny, Carmen, and me are all going to Tampa with our oldest sons next week to go see Bears and Bucks. And because we wanted our boys to see Tom Brady play live before he retires.
Yeah, you guys, those kids could be 16 and still watching him play.
It may be.
Dad! Yeah, you know, we're wheeling you into Tom Brady's final game when he's 60. I believe Tom Brady, though, after hurting his thumb last week in the game, was like 15 of 17 for 180 yards and 3 tutties.
So, good.
Like, still good. Also, Game 5 of Dodgers and Giants in San Francisco tonight. Actually, the Dodgers have gone to a reliever. You pronounce
opener.
His name Urias, right? That's what you were telling me. I mean, he was dominant this year as a starter, but they're going to go with Corey Knebel.
Okay.
They're going to start with a right-handed reliever and then go with Urias after that.
Do you like these short outings by starting pitchers? It's really a different sport, isn't it?
I don't know why. Urias was dominant this year. He was 20-3 with an ERA of 2.96 and a whip of 1.02.
Did he come in relief in the World Series Game 7? So I don't know if they're going with that formula. I'm not sure.
I'm just saying, like, isn't this the... I don't know. I would just give him the ball and let him roll.
I just don't love the game when you're only expecting your starters to go three innings.
Yeah, and he
it's
pitched...
It's mean-headish of me,
He pitched Saturday in their win over San Francisco. They won 9-2.
So he's got full rest.
Full rest. I don't know. But
I don't think you'll care about it if you're a Dodgers fan and they win the game.
No.
That's true.
They got to win, though, or else you second guess everything.
All right, time for the nuttiest story of the day. You ready? Brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey a Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
We go to Florida, Fort Lauderdale. Several families are claiming that roosters are being poached from their Fort Lauderdale neighborhood. Roosters.
For cockfighting? What are we doing here?
Look at you. You have an eye and an ear for stuff like this.
Well, when it comes to rooster talk, I rule the roost.
Wherever there was a cockfight, somebody was there.
There you go.
One of those residents even confronted an apparent thief. Those residents also say they know why their roosters are being taken. Lynn Morgan loves her neighborhood roosters. She just loves them. She loves them so much, she has names for them. It's why she and some of her neighbors got worried when some started to suddenly vanish. The first one he took, I called Arnie, she said. Quite sure he's dead by now or has been in a fight by now. One neighbor recently recorded a cell phone video of a man they believe to be the culprit. They always have a bait rooster with them.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Bait rooster.
Yeah.
They let them fight for a bit until they tire out. Then they take them away.
Little Yuri Seinfeld.
What's that?
That's another old Seinfeld reference.
Oh, was it? Was there a cockfight?
Oh, yeah. There was a whole cockfight episode. Yeah.
Really?
Kramer had a rooster, and he called him Little Jerry Seinfeld. And he was in a, and he got destroyed.
Was it a cockfight?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did he die?
I think he got destroyed at the end. Yeah. That's how it ended.
That's not nice.
You get all the Seinfelds now on Netflix.
No, I know.
Catch up on that, Waddle.
I did not realize this was a thing in the neighborhoods of Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah. Down in Florida.
Went to Florida to hang out, catch some sun and some beach action, and found myself in a cockfight.
Wasn't Aramis Ramirez involved in like an illegal cockfight ring or something like that back in the day?
Could be.
All right, back in 2 minutes, we'll talk to Lewis Riddick. He's one of everyone's favorite football guests. We'll talk about Matt Nagy's play calling. Is it done? He knows Matt Nagy well. And we'll get in on the Bears as it's a breakout game for Justin Fields. We'll talk to Lewis in 2 short minutes.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Sun's out on State Street. We're inside the First Midwest Bank studio. You can see us inside the First Midwest Bank studio. You can listen, you can watch, you can follow and react. Chat us up in the chat box on Twitch. Yeah, Twitch is the way you can watch the show.
Battling with anybody in there today?
Not really, no. I haven't been neglecting that.
Steamer's not around?
Oh, no, Cleveland David's in there. Yeah. I saw Cleveland. Someone did say to me, Lewis Riddick just squashed Sylvie's pipe dream.
I don't think so.
I'm not saying he's going to throw for 350. I believe he's going over 250. I believe we're going to see.
That would be a breakout.
That's actually a pretty low bar.
Right,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That I'm not asking for an unrealistic total here. And I believe time and place, too. 312-332-3776. And remember, twitch.tv, our channel is ESPN 1000 Chicago. Make sure you follow us. You could see Waddle. You get the double chin from me.
By the way, I was
double
just...
Double chin view.
Do you...
Little chin
you can,
music.
You can see me. Do I really look older than Mike Schilt?
Who said that?
I'm just asking. Do I?
No. What do you mean?
Do you know how old Mike Schilt is?
Mike Schilt's like 60, right?
53.
Okay. Oh, so he's like a year younger than me. But what is that?
I don't know. I thought he was older than that. That's when you know you're old, is when you look at guys on television
and go, school baseball
man, that
guy.
Guy's old. And then you realize he's younger than you.
Why is Waddle talking about Mike Schilt?
Oh, he got fired.
He got fired today. Mike Schilt got fired.
He got fired.
Speaking of baseball, and I want to get there. So check us out on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Again, it's brought to you by one of our favorites, great partners at Xfinity. Waddle and I are
love
both
them.
Customers of Xfinity. It's how we get our TV and our internet. This is the anniversary today. And Sox fans, too, if you want to weigh in on your baseball team, 332-3776. This is not a Bears-only show today. Yeah. Still fallout from that. We're waiting for Rick Hahn to meet the media when that press conference is going to happen. They've had Tim Anderson meet the media. Bob Nightingale said today that... that Tony La Russa is coming back for 2022?
And through 2025. He signed a 19-year... No, I'm joking.
Who's going to go longer? Is it going to be Brady or is it going to be Tony La Russa? Yes.
Brady.
Will Brady play to 50 or will Tony La Russa manage to 80?
You think I'm... This is funny. I'm telling you
What's more realistic?
That Brady... Well, Brady will play longer than Tony manages.
What's more realistic? Tony hitting 80... And still
as the manager?
He's going to be 78 next postseason.
Right.
Him making it to 80 as a manager, or Brady is 44 making it to 60. The 50, not 60. I know he's great, but not that great.
So what's more likely?
Yeah, what's more likely?
Wow.
It's a good one, isn't it?
I don't think Brady can get to 50. That's 6 years.
Yeah, I know, and that's a long time. And
yeah.
When it goes, it's going to go eventually.
Right. Yes. Tony?
Oof. As long as Jerry's around, right?
Yeah. It's only 2.5 more years. Brady's got to go 6.5 or 5.5
it's
more.
It's 3 more seasons Tony would have to manage to see 80 because he turns 78 in the 2022 season. He would turn 79 right. In 2023. He would have to manage the full 2024 season to hit 80. Dude, I mean, like...
I know, I get it.
Tomorrow's not even given it 79. I'm talking about on the Earth.
Well, it's not for... It's not for 44 or 54 either.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it is Brady. It's crazy. 332-3776.
Listen, I can't ever say that I absolutely and totally know that Tom Brady will be done here. But it's hard to believe he could get to 50 playing, isn't it?
It's a long time. Again, some quarterbacks don't play 6 years total.
Right.
And he's got to play another 6 years.
Yeah, he's got to play another 6 seasons.
He's got to play another 6 seasons. This is the anniversary today. If you were born the day that Bartman got in the way, you are now an adult.
Officially an adult.
You are officially an adult.
You are officially 18 years old.
And I've been reminded about this day. I didn't even know. I was reminded by a few Cubs fans today.
Yeah.
And I was reminded by our former boss, Adam Delavitt, who is a...
Diehard Sox fan.
Diehard Sox fan and is meatheadish of a Sox fan as they come.
Yes, he's one that not only loves his White Sox... He hates the Cubs.
Hates the Cubs. And maybe he may hate the Cubs more than he loves the Sox.
I was standing next to him in Cleveland when Rajay Davis hit the home run, and I've never seen a young man so excited, or a middle-aged man, or however old Adam is. I've never seen somebody so excited that the Cleveland Indians had taken the lead.
The nerve of this guy for 2 days after... the White Sox pooped their pants in the playoffs against the Astros and did everything worse than the Astros, that he has the nerve to send me the video of the Bartman game and say, hey, have you ever seen this movie before? Happy anniversary. And I said, happy two-day anniversary to your White Sox team pooping their pants.
Yeah, that was a good response. Pooping. That's a good response.
So 18 years ago today, one of the more memorable moments in Chicago sports history.
Again in the air, down a left field line, a low reaching into the stands and couldn't get it. He's livid with a fan. That's awfully close to fan interference right there. The umpire's all over it. The umpire right down there, Mike Everett's on the play. If a Lou has to reach into the stands, it's fair game for the fans to catch the ball. If the fan reaches out over the field, then it can be ruled fan interference. That is very, very close.
So that's the anniversary today. Does it still matter? Does that the anniversary still matter? I say no. The Cubs won, and I feel like that was Chicago at its ugliest. As far as in a sports context, because they took someone and made him a scapegoat.
Yeah,
and there were so many other culprits other than him that played in the game and made a bigger deal. So it set off a chain reaction of stuff, but he became the scapegoat and he didn't even play in the game.
You can speak to this better than I. Don't you believe that you were able to move on from that more readily because the Cubs went on years later to win a World Series?
Yeah, and I eventually just moved on, period. But
there's some that probably would not have had the Cubs not won a World Series.
Like, again, Alex Gonzalez missed the double play. Dusty Baker never came out of the dugout to settle down Mark Pryor. And someone recently said, well, Mark Pryor said that he didn't need to be settled down. He was a young pitcher. He was in the biggest moment of his career. They, instead of pointing the finger and throwing down a glove like Lou did, Dusty needed to go out there and say, look, we still got this.
Yeah.
Wait, it's foul ball. You're in control. Let's get these guys out. And then they ended up scoring a bunch of runs. Then, if you remember, Game 7, which people always forget, the Cubs had a lead.
Yeah.
You know, Kerry
Who's the reliever that they threw out there?
Dave Veers.
Dave Veers.
Yeah, I hated Dave Veers. Hated him with a passion. And when Veers came in, hated him. Hate in him. I left the game like early too, and I cried on the. I always say the lowest moment of my sports fandom was crying on the red line stop as the game was just winding down. Game 7 in 2003.
How old were you at the time?
I was 30. What was I? 30. Whoa! What are you laughing at in there? It hurts.
What were the other people
32.
Around? What were the other people around you doing?
Laughing.
No, I was...
Were you wearing a jersey?
I turned it inside out.
Was it a long pier?
It was a Cubs jersey. It was a blank Cubs jersey. Right. It was... And I...
So people couldn't tell what you were wearing.
Are you wearing an inside-out Cubs jersey?
I cried. I sat on the... Like, I wasn't heavily crying, but tears were coming down my eyes. No, not like that. It was not one of those...
Why?
And you wonder where Mason gets it.
I mean... They were up in that game. Moises Alou hit a home run before that. Kerry Wood hit a home run in Game 7. That's what people forget. People want to go after Bartman. And I remember after they lost, I knew they wouldn't win Game 7. And I've told you this story before. I was covering the Bears beat. I wasn't a talk show host yet. I was a reporter covering the Bears. So I went up to Halas Hall. I started the day. I did a hit on 94.7 that morning on their rock show.
94.7, yeah.
It was alternative rock back in the day. I think Brian the Whipping Boy was there. And they were interviewing me. I go, you could give me $1,000 tonight and I wouldn't go to Game 7. And they, I don't want to be there. I know they're going to lose. And then as the day went on, I'm like, hey, should I go? And then Jim Chrisman, who was one of the guys in the Bears PR staff for many, many years, said, look, I got an extra ticket tonight with me, Scott Chipman. Scott Chipman is now at the Big Ten, a big higher up at the Big Ten. And do you want to go? We had first row of the upper deck behind the plate.
Oh, that's nice.
And the place was shaking when Kerry Wood hit the home run.
You can see your hopes and dreams crumble
from a high vantage point. Right, I got a bloody nose too. And it was hell. Now, not that I still hold on to it, but again, I look more back on Game 7 with more anger than I do on the Bartman moment.
Because they still had a chance.
Yeah, and they were winning.
How was Dave Veers? I forget Dave Veers' performance that night.
It sucked. It sucked big. It sucked.
I'm going to turn this Cubs jersey inside out.
I'm like, Dusty's putting in Veers? 312-332-3776. Is this still a day to reflect on the Bartman game? I mean, is this a thing anymore? Do we do this for the rest of sports?
No, I don't think so.
We say, hey, today's the 40th anniversary of the...
We're definitely... Today's 18. We're definitely going to revisit this, I'm sure, in 20, just because, you know, I'm surprised kind of we did it today because it's 18, kind of a random year.
18, yeah. It's like
20 is more of, you know, okay. One of those times when you...
I think he's still got to bring it up because it's so personal to me.
Yeah. Well, we can bring it up every year.
It was probably the last time I cried over a sporting event. At least I hope so. 312-332-3776. We're going to scout Tom Brady because that's their next game, the Bears' next game.
And we haven't seen enough of him over the last 24 years.
We don't know what to expect. We're going to watch him tonight, and we're going to gamble on him. This is what I'm getting to, Waddle. What's at stake coming up? I'll ask for two callers coming up next, and you can win steak based on tonight's game, and that's coming up next.